is a bit of a view. A while back, I started talking about the entrance of the Holy Spirit into our lives. And I said that one of the reasons that the Holy Spirit has come into our lives is the fact that there was a great loss. You know, Jesus came on the scene and he was so dynamic. He did so many miracles. The scriptures say that all the book, there could not be enough books that could contain all the miracles Jesus did. Now, we have many of his miracles recorded, but the scriptures tell us that you can't even contain all the miracles Jesus did. He was a very powerful person. Everybody was waiting on Jesus. The prophets prophesied about Jesus. And when he came, there was great fanfare. There was a great celebration because the Savior of the world had come. They called him the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. People stretched to touch the hem of his garment. Mary and Martha got angry when they got angry when their brother died. Their brother Lazarus died, and Jesus had not come to heal him before he died. But then they found out he had resurrection power. This Jesus walked on water. This Jesus spoke to storms. This Jesus stopped funeral processions and raised the dead to life again. It's like earth could never do without Jesus. And then he left, and we had to do without Jesus. But he told us he would not leave us comfortless. And that's the reason that the Holy Spirit has come. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit in your life right now? He is the answer to the departure of Jesus, and he moved into the heavenly realm. Now we have his replacement, is the Holy Spirit. That is a dynamic being, God Almighty, up close and personal. Did you say good morning to him this morning when you got up? You know, it's not just an experience being filled with the Holy Ghost. This is a person. I'm not going to go back into that because I spoke on that before, but I just want to say to you, I'm still excited about God up close and personal, because he said, I'm going to put my spirit in you. Wow. We're in the time when the Spirit of God is in our bodies. Oh, my Lord. I hope you recognize that. Please do not just think because the infilling is so powerful. You know, you speak in tongues and some people shake and move and tremble because of the power of God. Some people fall out under the power. But because that experience is so powerful, please do not denigrate the presence of this person in your life. Now, today I'm going to talk about something that's exciting to me. Oh my God, it's exciting because I found out a pattern of God. And as you walk with him, just like when you walk with other people, you learn their patterns. You learn something about them. You know, you can fall in love. We call it falling in love with a person. You can fall in love with them, the part you know. But then as you grow with them, as you marry them, and as you grow with them, you find out more about them. And I found out something about God in the scriptures. And this happened to me after a great loss. Now, I read to you the scripture that said, he's going to give you beauty for ashes. He's going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. And he's going to give you the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Our God does something that is powerful in this life. He said through Jesus, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Now, some of you have been through tremendous things, terrible things, even during this COVID pandemic. We have had loved ones to die. We've had people close to us to pass away. We've had loved ones. We've had people on the job to pass away. And the loss was great. The loss was tremendous in this life. We experience loss. We are living in a place where the curse runs rampant. Things happen. Tornadoes come in. Those are not acts of God. God is not in the business of trying to destroy somebody through a strong wind or flood coming in and taking away people's children and flood. That is not God. Mudslides. Don't call that an act of God. God is a blesser. He's a blesser. And he gave me this revelation. God always got something better. Always. Especially when you experience loss. everyone in this life, if you live long enough, you're going to experience loss. Beauty for ashes means that whatever you were holding on to got burned up. All you got left of the whole thing is the ashes. The thing burned down, and what you got now is ashes. Ashes of a relationship. Ashes of a position you used to have. Ashes of sometimes your fame gets affected, and people talk about folks who are famous and they fall from the top to the bottom, and all you have now is ashes. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. Have you been mourning? Have you suffered a loss and now you're mourning? I'm here to tell you, this revelation is God's always got something better. Dry your tears. I know, you know, when we lose people, there is a period of mourning. There's a time when you're just sad. I know the scriptures that tell us, you know, that to be absent from the flesh is to be present with the Lord. And I rejoice at that. I know that Jesus came to redefine death so that it's no longer a great wall behind which people never are able to come out again. But death now is a transition. Death, we get into the arms of Jesus. It's the way we get into the arms of Jesus as believers. But still, even though we know they're with Jesus, we miss them. Especially if it's somebody close to you, you just miss them. You remember the times that you were with them. You remember their smiles. You remember the times you had with them. And the tears come, and the anguish of your spirit comes. And God knows all about that. That wasn't something that was planned. It came under the fall. We're living now. These tornadoes and destructive weather that's happening is a result of an earth that has been plunged under the fall. Not God. God is not doing this so that he can teach you something. That'd be like, somebody said, that'd be like taking the fox and having him teach something to the hens. Dear God, we don't want to learn like that through great devastation. I know some people feel like God is teaching us something through this COVID. Yeah, I mean, he may use it, but I don't believe God is a person that loves to destroy people, because Jesus heals. And he said, when you see me, you see the Father. Whatever you see me do, you see God. This is the way he does things. Well, one thing I want to zero in on tonight is that God's always got something better. Now, I wanted to, you know, sometimes you just want to tell people what you've been through. You know, I'm a type of person, I don't complain, because my God is good. He's just blessed me so often and so many times. I'm just so blessed. People say, Pastor Al, don't seem like anybody dislikes you. Don't seem like, you know, you go through anything. You always got somebody around to be a blessing to you. Always got somebody calling you. But that's not true. That's not completely true. About 4 years ago, even though I teach healing and even though I teach, you know, divine healing, my wife had a stroke. And since that time, it's like, it's not, she's never been what she used to be. Now, I can't explain why it happened. I don't know, as some of we don't know why certain people, you know, died during COVID. I mean, there were pastors that died, apostles that died, preachers that died, people that ministered that died. I can't explain. I don't know why at a particular time, but my wife succumbed to a stroke. Since that time, this woman, who was meticulous in her dress, meticulous in her appearance, her hair, her nails, everything was meticulous. She was a type of person that she would clean the house. I mean, she was a cleaner. I mean, you could eat off the floor after Debbie G cleaned the house. This is the way she was. But suddenly this person who was independent and strong and beautiful, suddenly the attributes that were there before were lost. And I was left with like 1/10 of what used to be there. Now, as she's in the house, she'll just sit and sometimes just stare, sit and just say nothing all day long, just sit. I mean, sometimes it as a person who loves interaction, it gives me quite a challenge to sit all day with somebody who doesn't talk, or to plan their meals and to plan their to clean up after them and to do the shower and all these things. It put me in the role of the caretaker. And it moved me into a place of being alone. And I don't like that. I don't like being alone. I know there's sometimes I have gotten many revelations from the Lord, from solitude. When I go away and do a revival, I'll sit in my hotel room. I won't turn the TV on. I'll just pray in the spirit. And all day long, I'm just getting revelation from the Lord. I love that kind of solitude. But there is a solitude that I don't enjoy. It's a forced solitude when I don't want to be alone, when I don't choose to be alone. And yet I got to be alone. But this sickness that happened to my wife forced me into a place of solitude. It was like I'm in solitary confinement. I understand that's one of the worst things that you can do to those that are in prison is to put them in a place of solitary confinement where they can't touch anybody, they can't feel anybody. They're in a dark place. But this is what it felt like to me. I'm just telling you what it felt like to me. And so I've gathered around since I didn't have that at home, I try to reach out and find people that could fill that void. And, you know, you've got to, because it's a need. You need somebody that's compatible. You need somebody that's there that can support you. You need somebody to dream with. You know what I mean? You need somebody to agree with. You need somebody to support. But when the Lord told Adam, said, it's not good for man to be alone. And this situation has caused me to be alone. And I tell you, you know, you reach around and you try to find people that might be able to fill that void. And when you do that, oftentimes you know, friendships come into your life and leave. But when there is a loss like this, whether it's a friendship or whether it's a marriage or whatever it is, loss is traumatic. It's traumatic. Trauma comes with loss. If you've experienced loss, I want to comfort you with these words. God's always got something better. Is it a close friend? Is it a relationship that you depended upon? I mean, some losses, and I've experienced one just recently, feels like, you know, somebody cut off your right arm. And if they're really close to you, it feels like they didn't use anesthesia when they cut it off. Now, you can live in this life without your right arm, but I know you prefer not to. God can come in and bless you whatever situation you're in. But the trauma that comes with loss, God realizes that in certain situations in your life, you will experience loss. But you know, I got this revelation when tears came. As you know, you lose close relationships. You lose people in your life that you feel like you need, that you can't get along without. And the tears come, anguish of spirit. Anybody who's been through a deep loss understands what I mean by anguish of spirit. In this scripture, it talks that Jesus was anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. When your heart is broken, when you've lost somebody that you care about, your heart is broken, your spirit, the inside of you is in anguish. And through this, going through the anguish of losing a close relationship, it really makes you reach out and cry out to God. Now, I love the fact that there is joy in the Holy Ghost. I love that fact. But I'm here to tell you, as Pastor Al, I've been in ministry for a long time. The Holy Ghost does not take the pain away that you experience. He is a comforter, but that does not mean he's going to take the pain away. He can fluff the pillow up. He can adjust the bed, but he's not always going to take the pain away. You're going to experience the pain. I'll give you an example. Jesus was crucified. The Holy Spirit did not stop that. Did not stop it. Because some things you got to go through. Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through this long-term pain? Why do I have to take on something called long suffering? Boy, I sure don't like that word, long suffering. I think suffering is enough. But long suffering, according to the King James Version of the Bible, long suffering. Why do I have to go through that? I understand that when you go through long suffering, it's not just for you. It's for people that are coming after you. I said to the Lord, even as I have gone through this loss, not just the loss of the situation with my life, but the loss of close relationships. I've said to the Lord, Lord, this is difficult for me to go through. But he gave me this revelation at the point when it just seemed like I couldn't take anymore. I just couldn't take anymore. He said to me, God's always got something better. You know, that cheered me up. God's always got something. Your God understands trauma. Your God understands when you lose something you feel like you can't lose. Heartache pain is a pain that's so strong. I don't know if you can measure it. You just kind of have to imagine it, because that's the kind of pain that heartache pain is. But our God, as you go through this and you go through the trauma of these things, understand that your God has got something figured out. It's important for you to understand that. Now, David said, here's a great example. David said in Psalm 61 and 2, I wanted to give you a scripture. He said, when my heart is overwhelmed. Wow. Has your heart ever been overwhelmed? You can put something in the chat. Just put some praise hands in the chat right now. If your heart has ever been overwhelmed, David said, lead me to the rock. My heart's overwhelmed. I've reached capacity and I've gone beyond. It's not just here. I've gone beyond. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. It's important for us to know that our God is active in the business. Maybe, you know, he's not taking the pain off of you, but lead me to the rock that is higher than I. What I've had to do during this painful time, during the time of the suffering of this, because it's a suffering. Yes, it is. It's a suffering. What I've had to do is I've had to go to the Spirit and I've had to pray in tongues. Didn't take the pain away. But I tell you, the scripture in Isaiah 29:11 says the Lord will speak to us with stammering lips in another tongue. And he said, this is the rest wherewith you cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. At some point in this ordeal, you are going to be refreshed. Hang in there. You're going to be refreshed. This is Pastor Al. I've been at this a long time. And I want you to know some things I'm just experiencing. I've never experienced brokenheartedness like losing a relationship or losing somebody close to me. I've never experienced that before. But I'm experiencing it now. But I tell you, as we pray in the Spirit, God, he doesn't take the pain totally away, but there's a refreshing coming. There's a refreshing coming. Now, your God, and I think part of this is because we have feelings. You know, it'd be one thing if you could just cut your feelings off and just stop them, you know, tie them up and put them in a little box and just throw them away. But feelings will erupt as the memories come of good times. Feelings will come as you remember things that you did that were wonderful. Feelings will come, whether it's a friend or whether it's a wife or whether it's a spouse, whether it's whatever it is. Even if you had a good job and you lost the good job and you remember how great it was, the money you used to make, feelings will come. Oh, my Lord. Feelings, they can be out of control sometimes. But our God has something planned for you as you go through those feelings. One of the things that helps us with feelings is forgetting. Now, you may have to go through this for a certain term, but there's scriptures here that tells us you're going to have to forget the things that happened in the past. How do I forget it? How do I forget? Well, you know, I don't have all the answers to this. I don't have all the answers to how you forget somebody who's been close to you. I don't have all the answers how you forget the good times. I think that maybe just time heals that wound. You're just going to have some nights where the tears come. You're just going to have some time. And even in mourning, you know, there's a time for mourning. I don't want to shut people up. that are mourning the loss of somebody, you know, he's not shutting us up because he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. If you're having strong feelings about something right now, I'm not criticizing you. I'm not saying, Herman, come on, get some joy, get some joy. No, there is a time of mourning. But when that time has come full season, God has the oil of joy for mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I was turning to a scripture in Isaiah because God's always got something better. Now, for the when Jesus died and rose from the grave and he left, he said, I'm going. He said, you're going to do greater works than these because I'm going. In other words, I got something better for you. I'm doing great works, but you're going to do better than I'm doing. And in the scriptures, we find out that there was an old covenant, and under the old covenant, miracles happened like never before. Moses stretched out his rod, the Red Sea parted, manna came down, bread fell down from the sky. There was a pillar of cloud by day to keep them cool and a pillar of fire by night. They defeated the giants under the old covenant. But do you know that when the old covenant was done, God had something new planned? When they crucified Jesus and we saw that great loss, God brought something better called the new covenant. God likes new things. When you suffer and when you go through something traumatic, get ready. The pattern of God is he's always got something better. I know you say, I don't know how anybody could replace this person in my life. I don't know how anybody can, how anything can be better than this. But when there is a loss, God, your God, I'm going to repeat it again. He gives us beauty for ashes, stuff that's been destroyed. He gives us the oil of joy for mourning. And he gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But now you got to have some ashes. You got to have a time of mourning. And you got to have experienced the spirit of heaviness. Those are the requirements for the better thing God has. Now, when you serve the Lord and God is trying to take you somewhere, you may have experienced something that's good. But I've heard this saying, good is the enemy of best. Good is the enemy of best. God's got something better for you. And sometimes what you've got has to crumble in your hands. Sometimes what you've depended upon you have to lose it. But God's got better plan. Let me just read another scripture. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter and the 18th verse. It's time for us to move into the new of God. And it's exciting to me because this is the pattern that our God has set. Isn't it wonderful? Boy, I tell you, I heard somebody say, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved. I want to tell you right now, if I wasn't saved, I'd get saved because this is wonderful to live for a God who's like this. This is what he says. He says in the 18th verse of the 43rd chapter, King James Version again, he says, remember ye not the former things. Oh my God, neither consider the things of old. Don't even consider them. Don't bring the stuff back up that used to be. Oh, we remember when we used to have this. We remember when we used to have that. And I remember how it used to be. Stop it. Stop remembering the former thing. Look at what God is saying. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'm in the 19th verse. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I've just got a couple minutes left on this, but you can tell that I'm excited about this because it is a wonderful thing. Paul said in the book of Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse, he says, forgetting the things that are behind, let's work to forget. Let's work to put those out of the forefront of our minds. Let's work to cast down certain imaginations. The best that you have had is not in your past. It's in your future. The best things of God. God has given you good stuff, but get ready because good is the enemy of best when God is trying to take you somewhere. And I'm telling you, God's trying to take you somewhere. Now, in this last minute of time, I want to say to you, we forget those things that are behind and reaching forth. Let's start reaching. I know you've suffered. I know you've gone through something, but let's reach forward to the things that are before us. Let's press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. God's got a higher place for you. You've suffered. Those are the prerequisites. Have you failed? Have you gone through something that was a struggle? God's always, remember the word always, God's always got something better. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give God a praise, because I'm talking about your God. And this is the way he is. And scriptures prove it out day in and day out. God's always got something better. Do you believe that? If you believe that, I just want you to know that as you believe it, God is going to bring it to pass in your life. It's important that you believe it. Okay, that's my time. It's over. I'm so glad you joined me today for this word. I'm excited about it. I tell you, I just can't wait. Even though I have been living with the Lord for a long time. I've been living for him since I was 16. My 70th birthday was last year. You know, but I tell you, God, this God I serve, I'm learning more about him day in and day out. And I'm excited. I'm not having setbacks that just ruin my plans. I'm having adventures in faith. And I think you can have the same thing. Now, if this word blessed you, I hope you'll sow a seed. Just text WOE Online to 77977 and sow a seed. I know this will bless, this has blessed some of you. I hope it blessed all of you. And until the next time that we are together, blessings and favor upon your life. In Jesus' name.